Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Praise God. I'd like to speak this evening on natural, supernatural, or eternal. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. God, we know that you are in this place. We have felt your presence. If there's anyone here who is in any doubt whatsoever, I pray for the ministry of your Spirit and the ministry of your Word to confirm your presence and your desire for their lives and their soul. We pray, God, for your blessing and anointing upon all of us, that we may hear your voice. Upon me, that I may speak the word of God according to your purpose and your desire in this place. Let no one leave here without question, having question in their mind, O God, whether or not you have spoken to them. Have your way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. This is the Apostle Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost, speaking to his countrymen, the men of Israel, the women of Israel that were there. He was talking about the one who had saved him, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. That phrase, that statement that he spoke in the ears of those Israelites in that time and that place had great power and great force. For him to say that Jesus Christ was approved of God was a powerful statement, because for them it had been a question for 3.5 years. Whether or not this was the Messiah, whether or not this was the one, whether or not he really was sent by God. And Peter affirmed for them that it was by miracles and wonders and signs that God had demonstrated that this was his Christ. That's really what that word means. Approved there, it means attested. He bore witness to the fact that this was the Messiah, that this was his chosen one, his sent and chosen vessel. It was proved by demonstration. It's in Acts 25 and 7, the same phrase is used, only it's used in a negative sense. It's talking about Paul. It says, when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. They could not demonstrate it. They couldn't show that Paul had done these things. Just the opposite, as in the life of Jesus Christ, there was public demonstration. When they came to take him, he said, I walked among you every day, and I did many wonderful signs and miracles. For which of these are you going to try me? It was evident that there was something different about this man. He had demonstrated visibly the fact that there was a power beyond our vision that was at work there. You see, God doesn't always give public proof when we want it. But when he wants to, he can. Nicodemus, a ruler in Israel, came to Jesus. And he said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him. Amen. Jesus looked at Nicodemus, a teacher in Israel, a religious leader, a man of knowledge and training. And he said, Nicodemus, you don't understand this because you have not been born again. Must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. Maybe here tonight, looking around you, not understanding exactly what's going on here. Why do these people behave this way? Why are they doing the things they're doing? Well, maybe you just need to be born of the water and the Spirit, and then you'll understand a little better. Praise God. They're beginning a new quarter here and beginning a new theme. And the theme is the next level. You want to be at the natural level. You want to be at the supernatural level? Or do you want to be at the eternal level? Praise God. You see, Nicodemus came with a natural mindset. And Jesus said, you don't get it. It's a supernatural thing. But what you really need is an eternal thing. Praise God. There's a whole world out there looking for something supernatural because they're so unhappy about their natural life. Their daily grind is getting them down and they're looking for something supernatural. I don't know why they look for zombies or vampires. I don't understand that. This weekend down at the Alliant Center, I think it's at Alliant, maybe it was at the Coliseum, there was a Comic-Con, Wizard Fest or something. I won't ask who went and who didn't, okay? But just the very fact that there's so much interest proves that people are looking for something greater than what they can feel, what they can see, what they can touch, what they can hear. Praise God. Looking for something supernatural. Jesus said you must be born of the water and the Spirit, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into it. He was talking about the experience that his apostles had on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says that there were about 120 people in an upper room, and suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind in a field. All the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. 120 people all in one place had been praying and seeking God for at least 7 days. And God did something supernatural. I don't think they even knew what was coming. Jesus was approved of miracles and wonders and signs. Now his apostles were experiencing them for themselves. I would call a rushing mighty wind a sign, wouldn't you? I would call tongues of fire a wonder. And certainly speaking in a language you never knew, that's a miracle. They were all filled and began to speak with other tongues. Jesus had already told them in Mark that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up deadly serpents. They will drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Praise God. When I tell people that I speak in tongues, what do you think they say? Do it now. Anybody ever have someone tell you that? Oh, yeah, we speak in tongues. Oh, well, do it right now. Let me see. Come to church. You'll hear somebody speak in tongues. That's what I tell them. Well, we can go find a place to pray. You can hear me speak in tongues. As a matter of fact, you can speak in tongues before we're done. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a miracle. Every time someone's filled with the Holy Ghost, here or anywhere else, it's a miracle. And the tongues, the Bible says, is given as a sign. Amen. Now, just how many here have already spoken in tongues? Stand up. Stand up. That's supernatural. Praise God. I said, that's supernatural. We shouldn't take that for granted. You can be seated. I was here in Voces Unidas today, and I was up front worshiping, and we've had a week of conference, and then we had men's conference for the Spanish churches yesterday in Cleveland, Wisconsin. Did you know there was a place called Cleveland, Wisconsin? I told the men from Voces Unidas that the men's conference was in Cleveland, and they all looked at each other and said, well, I can't go to Cleveland. I said, no, it's in Wisconsin. Praise God. We went just to tell you about the miraculous. There were two speakers in the morning, several sessions. We went downstairs for lunch. There were about 80 men there, from all around the district. And we had lunch, and we came back up, and one of the pastors started to pray for the session that was going to start. But he started praying, and he started getting anointing while he was praying. And then some of the men started getting anointed, and they started praying. And pretty soon, I was still downstairs eating lunch when this started. But by the time I got up there, were about 30 men gathered around the altar. Pretty soon there were 40 men, then there were 50 men, then all 70 or 80 of them were all gathered around the altar. The Holy Ghost was moving. All men were all around praying for each other, speaking in tongues, worshiping God. It was just an automatic response to the presence and the power of God. For about 45 minutes, those men prayed and worshiped and spoke in tongues one with another. Now, I was asked by Pastor Castellanos from Appleton if I would give a young man a ride home to the Waupun area. He had come with someone else, and the guy he came with needed to head home, but this young man wanted to stay. This was before lunch, and I said, "Well, sure, I can give him a ride home, no problem." So I pointed him out, and I said, "Okay, I'll catch up with him later." So we had lunch, and we went up. This whole thing went down, and great move of God, powerful move of God, and eventually things calmed down, and we got back and to the matter at hand. And we had a couple. Brother Danny Johnson was the speaker, awesome speaker, and he spoke two more times, and then we all got ready to go home. And I caught up with Oscar, this young man who was going to ride with me, and he's from Guatemala. He is a little reserved, and took me a while. I did most of the talking, some in Spanish, some in English, mostly Spanglish. And we had a long talk. About three quarters of the way home, he said, "Today, in service, first time I received the Holy Ghost." I said, "What?" And I asked him in Spanish, I said, "Do you receive the Holy Ghost today?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "The first time you spoke in tongues?" He said, Yeah, that was today. I said, "Praise God." Well, the more I got to thinking about it was, if Brother Castellanos hadn't asked me to give him a ride, he would have missed that. I said, "When did it happen?" He said, "It was during that prayer meeting after lunch." See, if I hadn't given him a ride, if Brother Castellanos had made arrangements with me to give him a ride home, he would not have been there. He would have been gone. But because God made a way for him to stay there, he was able to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I speak a little more Spanish than he does English, but whatever language he spoke, it wasn't either one of those. Praise God. We serve a supernatural God. He uses natural processes. He uses human beings. He uses the things that we make available to him. He wants to work in the natural, but he does supernatural things. Amen. How many here have prayed with someone and heard them speak with other tongues for the first time? Amen. How many here have prayed with someone outside of church and heard them pray with other tongues? Why don't you stand up? Look at this, is miraculous. Praise God. What am I trying to say? We live in a natural world. We go to work. We look at people. We eat our food. We go to sleep at night. We put on our clothes. We do all these things in the natural and sometimes it's hard enough just to get to work or to pay the bills or to take care of the things that we need to in a natural sense. But I'm here to tell you that there is a supernatural God at work, not just here, but all around us every day. God wants to do something supernatural in your life. Praise God. What Peter said on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. They spoke, the Bible lists at least 16 different languages, language groups that were identified there. Depends on whose count you're using. And these apostles, they probably spoke Aramaic. They probably spoke English. They probably spoke some Hebrew, but Greek, and probably spoke some Hebrew. English didn't exist yet. But they all spoke in a tongue they had never learned. People from all around the world were there at the known world, and they heard them speak in their own language. Amen. I would consider that a public demonstration. And then Peter got up and preached. He said, this, what you're seeing here, is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He said, this is the supernatural thing God was prophesying about so many hundreds of years ago. And he's doing it here, right before your natural eyes. I'm trying to help us to have faith, to look beyond what we see, beyond what we feel, beyond what we can touch. There's a supernatural element at work in God's people. He wants to do signs and wonders and miracles through his church. He wants to do signs and wonders and miracles here tonight in this place. Some of you believe that. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. You read about this a long time ago. You were raised hearing about this. You never thought it was going to happen, Peter said. But it's happening right here in front of you. God said, this is my word and I approve of this message. He not only demonstrated his power and verified his word, but he condones what happened on the day of Pentecost, and he requires of anyone who wants to go to heaven. There are three words that are used here, and sometimes they're used interchangeably in the New Testament. The word miracles and signs and wonders. The word miracles that we have in Acts 2:22 is actually the same word that's used when Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's the word dunamis. So a manifestation of power is what that's talking about. And then wonders is a word that means something strange. Well, now, we don't have to go very far to find something strange, do we? Like I said, there was a Comic-Con right downtown Madison yesterday. I don't know if you've ever seen clips of what those Comic-Cons look like, but just think of the strangest, most outlandish costume you can imagine on a science fiction or fantasy character and put that on a real person walking around, and that's what Comic-Con is. And you wonder, what does that person do in real life? You wonder, is that person from my neighborhood? Something strange. Or an omen even, or something, a prodigy, a wonder. It's something that amazes you to see, to look at. Or a sign. A sign can be a mark or a token. According to Vine's dictionary, an indication of something, especially ceremonially, or, and this is what the dictionary says, supernaturally. Praise God. Signs and wonders and miracles. God is in the business of more than just signs and wonders of miracles, but he is in the business of signs and wonders and miracles. Vine says this, a sign is intended to appeal to the understanding. Okay, you look at it, and your brain wants to make sense out of it. There's a rash. You're trying to find a rational application for it. A wonder appeals to the imagination, and a power or a miracle in this case, a manifestation of power, indicates that its source is supernatural. So I guess if we look at it like that, a sign or a wonder, either one could be a supernatural manifestation. It's just that there's a source of it is supernatural. Praise God. You know, most people believe in the supernatural. Now, I have to admit, a lot of people don't believe in the God that we believe in. They don't believe in a lot of the things that we find in the Bible, even. But most people believe in some kind of supernatural reality. Again, why else would we have all of these stories and movies and books about people coming back to life and about ghosts and vampires and all of that silliness that people try to conjure up when they're looking for something more than what exists in this world? In John 2:11, the Bible tells a story. In chapter 2, it tells a story of Jesus visiting a wedding in Galilee. In chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." The beginning of miracles. What he did was he turned the water into wine. Now, this was a public event. And up until this time, if I have my chronology correct, that Jesus hadn't performed any public miracles. And I don't believe that as a child he was healing birds or any of those mythological stories that people like to tell about. I believe that this was, according to the Bible, the first manifestation of the glory of God in a miraculous sign that Jesus did. Here they are at a wedding, and they run out of wine. My understanding is that the wine they were drinking was not alcoholic. You can figure that out. I can spend a lot of time explaining it to you if you want me to, but the fact is, they had run out. And now all they had was water. And Jesus' mother, Mary, said, "Can you do something about this?" And he said, "You know, just give me time." I don't think he was disrespectful, but he was said, "Just, I know what I'm doing here. Hold on, just wait." And in a little bit, he called the servants over, and he said, Take this water and take it to the guy in charge of the feast. And when he tasted it, and have him taste it, when he tasted it, it was wine." He turned the water into wine in front of people as a public demonstration. The Bible says it was a sign. It was a miracle. That word there, miracle, in John is the same word that in most places is translated as sign, as a token, as a mark. It was an indication of who he was and what he was going to do. And it was there for all of those people to see. The Bible says that it was so obvious, he manifested forth his glory. Now, what that means, I don't know, but somehow those people knew that something supernatural took place there. And the Bible says that his disciples believed. That's why God wants to show signs and wonders and miracles. Not so that we can be glorified as a church. Not so you can be glorified as an individual. But so God's glory can be shone forth. And the world can believe on Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, if I read the book of John correctly, there are several places where it mentions the first miracle, the second miracle, and it has kind of a progression, has several of them. But if we line that up with the other Gospels, we find out that there were a lot of other miracles in between. So these particular signs or miracles that John is referring to had a specific purpose in the ministry of Jesus. As he was progressing through his ministry, he was revealing himself little by little to the world around him. The second, according to John, was the son of a nobleman in Galilee that he hired and before that he healed. Before he did the miracle, he spoke to the man, and the man came and asked him, "My son is about to die." And Jesus said, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." But then he spoke the word. And when this man went home, he found out that his son was well. And he said, when did this start happening? And they told him it was at the seventh hour. And he realized it was the same time that he had spoken to Jesus, when Jesus said, nevertheless, thy son will be made whole. Praise God. That's a wonder. That's a sign. That was the second one. And so we see through the book of John, there's a progression. Jesus came and he revealed himself. This was after he came out of Jerusalem. His early ministry was in Judea. And this was when he first entered into Galilee. So it was like the first thing that the first miraculous sign that he did there in Galilee. It kind of introduced himself, put himself on the stage. It was the beginning of signs in Cana, and then in Cana of Galilee. And then he went to Judea, and then he came back out into Galilee again, and he did this second sign. Not everyone saw it, but many heard about it. And the disciples believed. What is it going to take for you to believe in the supernatural? I'm not talking about something so strange and unfathomable that you can't even begin to imagine it. See, I asked everyone to stand earlier tonight because I wanted everyone in the room to understand that there are supernatural things happening right here. That we have hundreds of people in this room who have experienced a supernatural experience. John uses the word and numbers to explain this progression of Jesus revealing himself. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say here tonight, is that if you're in this room, if you can hear what I'm saying tonight, that Jesus Christ is trying to bring you to the next level. He's trying to bring you into a supernatural relationship with the living God. Praise God. There's a process to it. And it's different for every one of us, how God works on us. But anyone who has been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this place, anybody who has been baptized in Jesus' name and had their sins washed away, can give you testimony looking back, recognizing how God was doing things that at the time I never recognized, never understood, never perceived, that in fact it was the hand of God guiding me and drawing me and dealing with me and bringing me to a place where I would recognize that He cares for me, He loves me, and He wants to give me a supernatural relationship with Him. What is a wonder? Well, to me, the loaves and the fishes is a wonder. Five loaves and two fishes. Thousands of people. 5,000 men, probably at least one man and one woman and one child for every man, we can guess. So thousands. I don't know, 5, 10, 15,000 people. Five loaves and two fishes. And he fed them all. I'm sure his disciples were wondering, how is this happening? How can this food keep reproducing? Now, I tried to remember the details, but do you remember the soup story that Brother Putnam told? Okay, who's the Wayne Huntley, one of the a great home missions and church planter, leader in the United Pentecostal Church, just in this last month or two. They had, I'm not getting all the details right, except the testimony is documented. They did a street outreach, and when they do their street outreaches, they make a certain amount of food, and they feed people soup, and give them clothes, and minister to their needs spiritually, physically, and spiritually. And while they were there, they were planning on, I think it was like 300 people, 200 to 300 people. And they turned out that over 600 showed up. And they started serving the soup. And 50, 100, 150, 200 people. Now we're talking 250 people kept coming. And the soup kept coming out of the pot. And they kept ladling it and kept ladling it and kept ladling it. And with soup that they had for 200 to 300 people, they fed over 600. They were in the process. They were still doing it. And the lady in charge came to Brother Huntley and said, "Brother Huntley, you have to see this. I don't understand it. We just keep ladling soup out, and it keeps, the pot never goes down." And they kept drawing soup out. The pot didn't get any lower. They kept drawing out, filling a cup, filling a bowl, handing out bowls. More came. More. And God performed the same miracle there in this day and age. On April 24th, you heard the announcement. There's a thing that we sponsor here at Calvary Gospel Church. We host, I guess is a better word for it. It's called Touch Twice. And recently, the people that work with Touch Twice, Felicia and the others here that work with it and work on it, have decided to really emphasize the second touch. The first touch is the physical need. Chiropractic, medical checkup, dental checkup, clothes, food, haircuts, all kinds of physical needs. But then the spiritual need is to bring people in and to give them the Word of God. Teach them, preach to them, minister to them, pray for their needs. Give them the spiritual help that we need. And lo and behold, what happens when we start doing that? We start preaching the word to them and praying for them here in this place, and suddenly God does something supernatural. And people start receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Praise God. We have to go beyond the natural to the supernatural. It's a wonder when God keeps filling the pot. It's a wonder when God opens a door for a man in the United Nations to teach a Bible study to leaders that have come from all over the world. It's a wonder how God could connect people from Michigan with people in New York City and suddenly open a door with the General Secretary of the United Nations to be able to teach an apostolic one God Bible study in the heart of the world's political organization. It's a wonder. Is there something in your life that you're wondering about? Praise God. You see, Jesus was a man. And he was God. He walked among his people, the Israelites, and he ate and he slept. He was tired. He worked as a carpenter. He did everything. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And the people of Israel, they were God's people. They considered themselves to be God's people. They considered themselves to be the people of the book. Their whole culture, their whole society revolved around the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, the Torah. Their whole governmental system revolved around the teachings of the Word of God. They considered them to be God's chosen people, the children of Abraham. And Jesus came to them, and he wanted them to know that he was the fulfillment of the book that they were living by. Can you imagine how hard it was for him to convince him when they're looking at the natural? They grew up on stories of Moses parting the Red Sea, of him bringing down manna from heaven, from the Israelites crossing over the River Jordan, stories of Joshua praying and the sun staying in place, all kinds of miraculous manifestations of the power of God. And now this man, Jesus, is walking in their midst. Look at John 6:24. Through 27, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. They were on one side of the lake. They decided he was on the other side of the lake, and they went over there. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Well, that was a wonder, because actually he walked out on the water to get in the boat, to get to the other side. They didn't know that, but the apostles did. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, listen to this. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You're here for the natural. I'm doing the supernatural, and you're here for the natural. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. You're here for the natural. I'm doing the supernatural because I want to give you the eternal. Praise God. Now, the Bible makes it clear that it's the Christian's responsibility, if you have the ability and the opportunity to help someone, that you have that responsibility to do what you can. The scripture speaks plainly about God's people helping those that are in need. There's a scriptural imperative to providing the help in the natural when we can. That's only right. But the most important thing we can do for you, the most important thing I can do for my neighbor, the most important thing that the church can do for the world is to reveal to them the supernatural power of a living God. That's what he wants to do. And it's not just for the sake of the thrills and the chills that we experience when God is moving. It's because God wants to give every soul on this earth eternal life. It's all right for us to seek for our natural needs. That's normal. That's natural. But God wants to do something supernatural for you. Not just for the moment, but for all eternity. Praise God. They followed him. These people, they went all the way across the Sea of Galilee to follow him. And Jesus said, it's not because of the miracles, but it's because of the loaves and the fishes. The word he used there was the word that meant sign. He said, you followed the free lunch. See, somehow, we have to get our eyes off the natural. We have to forget. I know what it's like to come into a Pentecostal church and just look at the people and think, these are some really different folks here. I know. We are different. We kind of like being different. We're supposed to be different because we've experienced something supernatural. We've gotten to another level in our relationship with God. And beyond that, we want to experience the eternal. And we want you to come along with us. Praise God. Do you know that on that day, in John 6, when Jesus talked to them, he said, you only came for the free lunch. And they said, well, what do you expect? Those are the same people that just the day before he had performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, fed thousands of them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They saw it. They were there. But they took for granted that experience. They said, cool. Wonder if any other magicians are coming. I don't know what they were thinking. But all they wanted was another free lunch. Hey, free food. That's the best way to Get a lot of people come to church, by the way, is to have free food. Still works. Yeah, I hope I'm not breaking the secret code or anything, but the reason we do it is not just because we want to have a lot of people. Because we've had a supernatural experience with the eternal God. Let's stand. Well, I feel the presence of God here right now. What you experience here in this worship service. I hope you heard somebody speaking in tongues, and if you didn't, just come on down to this altar and you will. I can't do it for you right now, but maybe in a little bit. The Bible says they spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. That means they were filled up and the Spirit of God gave them a language they didn't know. And they spoke it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the first thing for me was I felt so unclean when I came into a Pentecostal church. I felt like I could never do this. All I could think about was all the things that I was doing that I knew were wrong. The Bible calls that sin. And it's still sin today. But the same thing that worked on the day of Pentecost will work here today. The Bible says if you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins can be washed away. To repent just means to admit to God that you are a sinner. I've got sin in my life and I don't want to do it anymore. I want to leave it behind. And it still works today. And if you will admit that to God and ask for His forgiveness and commit yourself to Him, He will take you into the waters of baptism, and in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins can be washed under the blood of Jesus, never ever to be remembered again. Praise God. Oh, you may remember them, but He never will. Praise God. Then He promises, if you will do this, that you shall receive the Holy Ghost. You can be filled. You don't have to wait till you're baptized. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Just take one step out into the aisle, and if you have enough faith, the Holy Ghost will hit you and fill you. And if you keep coming, God will pour out His Spirit upon you. If you come in faith, you're going to experience something supernatural tonight. If you want to, you can have that experience. Just come right down here in the front. And we serve a supernatural God. He's here, and He's willing to do that, to take you to the next level in a supernatural experience with God. If you have something you're struggling with in your life, something you can't get past or get around or get over, come right down into the front here. God wants to do signs and wonders and miracles tonight, and He can do it in your life. You will wonder why you couldn't overcome it. I was a pack to a pack and a half a day smoker. And one day, Pastor Grant preached a message, and he said, if it was me, I'd take that pack of cigarettes and I'd drop kick it right over the fence. And I went outside and crinkled up my pack of cigarettes and I threw them over the fence. And God delivered me from a pack and a half of cigarettes a day right there. That's a wonder, my friend. He can set you free. He can overcome any problem you have. And if you need healing tonight, I believe that we're about to enter into a new level of ministry. God's going to use not preachers only, probably some preachers, but God's going to use the people of God to perform wonders and signs and miracles because that's what He said He was going to do. So if you will come and ask for prayer, let God touch you. Someone will pray with you and we will believe God for your healing because we serve a supernatural God who wants to spend eternity with you and give you an eternal relationship. You need something eternal tonight. Praise God. The natural, we've done everything we can in the natural. We're still trying to do everything we know. We're looking to God for the supernatural so that we can have something eternal. Praise God. Let God do something eternal in your life tonight. Come and pray. Come and seek God. Come and let the Holy Ghost minister to you. Let God use you in prayer. Step forward. Maybe you're not used to praying with people. Maybe you're not used to, but if God puts it in your heart, if God gives you a word, if God gives you an anointing, you owe it to Him to come and let Him use you in ministering to someone else, because we're going to another level. And my shame is over.